just almost exactly 10 years ago, this is what she said her desire was: to walk with students as they go deeper in their faith and wider in the world with the gospel. To walk with students to go deeper in their faith and wider in the world with the gospel. Deep and wide. So now as we kind of find ourselves at the end of that season, I want to circle back to the beginning and allow what we said in the beginning and has echoed through the last decade to be an invitation today for you to go deeper in your faith and wider in the world with the gospel. Before we see what the Lord has to say, let's pray. Spirit, living God, we ask that you move in this place, move in our hearts, move in our minds, and prepare us to receive you. Father, I pray in these moments, these words that I have prepared will become yours, and that your grace will move through me, and if not through me, in spite of me. If you would, to take a moment to pray for yourself, that God have a word for you today. And if you'd be so kind to pray for me, that in my weakness, he will be strong. Jesus, we give you the room. Amen. One of the first series Shauna did as youth director was going through the book All In by Mark Batterson. It's kind of this call for you to kind of give more, to go all in your relationship with Christ. And in the midst of that series, we were having dinner with a youth one night, and one of the guys in high school, he looked at me, he's like, "I want more, Robert." I said, "I'll get you some more lemonade, pizza, what do you want?" He said, no, I want to go deeper. I want to go all in. Here's my response that I gave him. "Well, do it." That was it. I just said, "You can do it, just go deeper." That's the only thing that I said to him. So what I want to do today is give him that answer. The answer that I would give him today, to give you the answer today, is what does it mean to go deeper in your faith? I want to give you an image to hold on to and the way that we can live into that image. And the image comes from the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 14, that there's this time, this moment, the Lord shows up and gives him this word. He says, if I can find it in my notes, "For all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea." All of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters fill and cover the sea. These words come at a time when there was kind of some questions about what was going on in the nation. There were questions about what God's plans and purposes were. And there's this declaration from the Lord through the prophet saying that one day the whole earth, every inch of it, the sky, the mountains, the rivers, the canyons, all creatures and all people will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as waters cover the sea. That it is this bottomless, infinite, and boundless God that will cover all of creation. It's a stunning image to get a hold of, that there's this direction that all of history is moving. All of humanity, all of the world is moving to this direction where there will be this day that the glory of God covers everything. Absolutely everything will be covered with the knowledge of God's glory, but not just covered with it, filled as if the waters cover the seas. And that's our greatest hope, that one day we will be in the endless enjoyment of the presence of God, and there's nothing more lovely, nothing more pure or beautiful or limitless than God alone. And everything in all of human history is moving to being in the full presence of God. Every inch of creation, like the water covers the sea. And I would have told that young man that when you drive down Highway 90 and you look south, just imagine all of that water. It's a little dirty, a little gross. We're confused what may be in that water. But when you look, there's so much water. You can't comprehend how much water may exist out there. And if you go out on a boat and you're going to the islands or you're going fishing and you just find yourself surrounded by water, it seems limitless. It seems boundless. The opportunities to go deep and to go wide and to go all of these different places, it's unreal when you find yourself surrounded by the water and you wonder, like, what's going on down there? What can I find? What can I explore? What is there to discover in the depths of the water? Is that one fish I've been chasing there? All of these things go through your mind as you're in the water, that the opportunities, and there's this infinite, boundless existence of water. Almost as it's this depth that can't be explored. It's this infinite, boundless amounts of glory are going to cover the earth. And there's nothing I want more than to experience that depth, to explore that depth. There's nothing I wanted more than that young man to take him to the depth so he could see it, so he could taste it, so he could experience it. But the reality is, I can't go into the depth on my own. I can't bring you into the depth of God's glory. I don't have that power. I don't have that ability. But out of an immense act of love, God sent his Son to us. Glory entered reality. The glory of God became something real and present and tangible, and God walked among us and let us just kind of get a picture and a glimpse of his character, of his heart, of his love, the way that he talks with people, the way that he would interact with people that the rest of the world would avoid, that he would go into hard situations and bring love and grace and mercy, that he would teach the people how to talk and how to walk and how to be representatives of God, and he would make a way for us to know his Father, to experience his love, and to be present with him. And at the end of his time before he walked to the cross, we get this conversation that he has with his dad in John 17. He says, I brought your glory here by finishing the work you gave me to do. Your glory, the where we're all moving, where your glory will cover it all, it broke through. And I have done some things. I'm going to do some more things. I'm going to rise and I'm going to be back with you again. I've done this work. And we realize in this moment, the greatest hope that we have is realized through Christ, that he brings glory so that we can know the Father. He says, I've given them your glory. They've seen your beauty. They've seen your power. They felt your presence. And now they can see that I am in you and you are in me. That I am in you and you are in me. And when they see that, they'll know. They'll know. When they see that we're connected, when they can grasp and believe that I'm the way to get to know you more, to experience your presence and experience your glory, when they see that we're connected in this way, that I am in you and you are in me, then they will know that you love them as much as you love me. That you, the God of all creation, loves them as much as you love me, your Son. They'll know. They'll know. And what I wish I would have told that young man is that love that is pursuing you is calling you deeper. It's calling you deeper. Saying, I want you to love me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Every ounce of who you are, I want it to be bent towards me to experience all of the things that I've shown the world. I want you to experience those things and realize that the kingdom of God that will be forever and forevermore, that he will cover all of creation, you can experience that now, that there's freedom for something, there's freedom from something, there's something that you can get a hold of, because there's nothing more beautiful and lovely and pure and limitless than the glory of God and the love of God that comes through Christ alone. There's nothing better than that. And so I'm going to redirect my love to the one who loves me with the never giving up, always and forever kind of love. I would have told him, the more that you go deeper, the more that you find delight. The more that you find delight, you find yourself panting for the water as the deer pants for the water. I wish I would have given reflections of my own life, what it looked like for me to go deeper. That in high school, I connected with friends and through retreats and through church and through youth group and through worship, and these things that I felt when I was with them, it wasn't anything special about them, but it was something special that the Holy Spirit was making himself known in the midst of the fellowship, that as we worshiped at retreats, it wasn't about us. It wasn't about what was happening. It was about that God wanted to be with us in revealing his love through one another. I wish that he would kind of grasp that in the way that I did. I wish I would have told him that when I learned to pray, that I wasn't just practicing a discipline, but I was in conversation with God, the Creator, that he wants to hear from me, that he longs to hear from me. And as I did that, as I kind of persevered through prayer, on the other side, I found myself more fulfilled by the things of God and less of the things of the world. I found joy and peace and hope through this conversation I had with God. I wish I would have told him that when I studied scripture, like really studied scripture, which I had never done until I really came into this room as the interim youth director and met these students that were hungry for more, and I didn't have anything to give them, so I studied it. And as I studied it, I realized that I'm getting to know God. I'm getting to know his heart. I'm getting to know his personality. I'm getting to know how much he loves me through this word that he has given to us as a gift, and the Spirit's at work in the midst of that. If you can just get a hold of that, you're digging deep and you're experiencing something that begins to transform you, to restore you, to redeem you. I wish I would have told him that when I got involved in a local church and people were living out the one another's of the New Testament, to love one another, to pray for one another, to bear with one another, to forgive one another, that I experienced God in the flesh through the people of God. And every time that I encountered the living presence of God through the people of God, I just felt myself going deeper and deeper. And as I went deeper, experiencing something more and something more and something more. As I went deeper. I wish I would have told him when things in life get hard, don't run away from the things of God, but run to the things of God. Because on the other side, if you've endured this world with the presence and the power and the love of God, on the other side is something so beautiful and something so real. That every time you say, not my will, but yours, every time you say, not my strength, but yours, every time you say, I surrender to the God of all of creation, life is so much better. When you find your plans and purposes rooted in the God of all creation. I wish I'd have told him that's what going deep looks like. What I realized in thinking about that, and every time that was the experiences that I was digging deeper and digging deeper, I was realizing that I was digging deep wells. You dig these wells, and every time you dig deep, you encounter living water. This water that we can continue to come back to those wells when life doesn't make sense, because we're invited to come to the well. Everyone who's thirsty can come to those wells, and when you come to the well, you'll thirst no more. You get to keep coming back and encountering this living water. And what that living water does, it transforms, it restores, it redeems. Every time you encounter that living water, regardless of what you've been doing and walking through in life, and regardless of how you've missed the mark, every time you come to that living water, there's this voice that says, you are freed from the power of sin because of what I've done. Every time you come to the living water, you're also freed for salvation. That there's this eternal picture of what you get to experience, but there's something that you get to experience now. The more that you drink living water, the more every day changes. The more that you realize that the things of Jesus begin to permeate the way that you talk and the way that you interact with the world, and you tap into this reality that the power of the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and you have this peace that you can't explain, joy you can't explain. You have love, you have hope, you have patience, you have kindness. You have self-control, all of these things that we don't have in our humanity, but when we find ourselves drinking living water, it permeates and boils over and rolls into every part of our life. Right. When we drink the living water, and we go deeper. It's kind of like the picture in Ezekiel before this passage, the famous passage of the Valley of Dry Bones, that there are people that have lost life, that they're dead, and God speaks life into existence. And the bones come together. It makes sounds as they're being formed and they're brought together. The people of God are restored by the living breath of God. God breathes on them. He gives living water. And the people of God are restored to who God had created them to be. And they begin to discover their presence and his presence and their purpose. And they find themselves in the temple, the place that they get to meet with God and worship God and experience God together. And what we see in the passage today, as everyone that has been drinking living water comes together and in the place of God and they're worshiping God, that water begins to flow outside of the temple and goes deeper and wider. The prophet is walking with God like we're walking with God. It goes 1,000 cubits and the water is an ankle deep. He goes 1,000 more and it's knee deep. He goes 1,000 more and it's waist deep. He goes 1,000 more and the river is so deep and the river is so wide and the river is so strong that he can't even cross it. He is amazed at what God has done. And the Lord says to him, Son of man, do you see this? Do you see the power of my living water rising up and flowing into the world? Do you see what happens when people that are redeemed and restored and transformed to come together and allow my life and my love and my mercy and my grace to flow from the place that you gather, that there is something that's undeniable. And what happens is incredible. He led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into Araba where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. This water begins to transform things that were dead. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where this river flows, there's life. Where this river flows, there's life. Because people that have been redeemed and restored and transformed by the living water of God, when they allow that water to flow out and go to the places where they live, it brings life. What does that look like? Parents, it looks like your kids seeing you doing a Bible study. The gospel begins to spread wide in your homes. When your dining room table is used as much for scripture as it is eating a meal, you're making a statement to your children that the love of God does something. Parents, when you decide to serve in the church, when you decide to sing in the choir or serve on a committee or go on a mission trip, the gospel is spreading wide in your homes. When you tell your kids with your actions that people are more valuable than money and people are worth saving, people are worth pursuing, people are worth going the extra mile and doing the and then some for, then you are telling your children that the gospel belongs wide in the world. And for us as a church, the gospel goes wide into the world when we put shingles on a roof in Memphis. When we deliver meals to the people that are stuck in their homes in Guffport. We're not just a meal, but we give them a devotion when they're there. Saying, not only will we feed you in your stomach, but we'll feed your soul. The gospel goes wide in the world when we feed people in Costa Rica, when we build water wells in Africa, when we tell the world this light that we have, this knowledge that we have, this glory that exists only through you. We're not going to put it under a basket, but we're going to stand firm on the word that you give us. We're going to stand tall and be a light. We're going to be a city on a hill. When we do that, the word of God goes wide in the world. That's what it looks like. As we do these things, as we go deeper in our faith, the unstoppable result is the gospel goes wide in the world. And everywhere that river goes, it brings life. Maybe if you're a little older, you remember the song. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I get a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, goosh, 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 goosh. And it goes on. When we realize that this river of life is coming through us, yes, the lame can walk. Yes, the blind can see. Yes, the captives are set free because the same living water that sets us free from our sin sets us free to go into the world and bring that love to the places that we go. Yes, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Yes, there's a river of life flowing out of us. When we go deeper in faith and wider in the world with the gospel. The best endings are an invitation. The best endings are an invitation. So today, go deep. Go wide. And let what we do in here fill the streets out there. And everywhere you go, you bring living water and you bring life. But not to us, God, not to us, but to you be the glory. As we all move forward to that day where he covers all of creation with his glory, with every place, every person, every heart says yes. Let's pray. God, we give thanks for your love. A love that never stops pursuing, a love that never gives up on us when we forget how beautiful and lovely and true you are. We give thanks for a love that covers a multitude of sins. We give thanks for a love that invites us to love you back. The God of creation did not think himself too highly to enter into this world and make a way for us to know you and to love you and to experience you. We give thanks for the incredible invitation that the things that you do in our heart don't stop there, but they flow from that place. They flow from our mouths. They flow from our actions. They flow from our places of worship to the places where we go. and give us the confidence that living water brings. Give us the confidence where that water goes, it will turn my dead spots into life. It will bring my dry bones back to life. And as we go together and go deep, we know that we'll go wide because we're walking with you. Walking with you in our hearts, walking in the ways that you've prepared for us, and walking in your grace. So Father, I pray, being rooted and established in love, that together through all the saints, we can comprehend how wide and deep and high and long is the love of God. Because when we find ourselves there, we are assured that you could do more than we could ever imagine or ask for. God, you made your glory known. May we live in light of your glory. We love you, we praise you, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship.